Well, hello there and welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King and I have with me today our special guest, Prophet Bobby Connor. And Bobby, today we're going to be discussing one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. Yes. It's about God's supernatural power. Yes. And that is the title of your book, God's Yes. Supernatural Power.
I want it and we need it, don't we? The
power of God. Oh my gosh. You know, even the Apostle Paul said that he didn't come and preach with just words only, but with a demonstration of the power of God. Yes. And that's how the people had faith created in them, was not only through the word, but in power. And I think today, especially in the Western church, we can tend, if we're not careful, to become very academic. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself. But if we lack the power, then we're lacking the presence of who God is and what he can do. And if any man that I know knows the power of God, it's you.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about the days we're living in. This is the day of his power. That's what it says in Psalms 110, verse 3. It said, in the day of his power, his troops will volunteer freely.
Yes.
And it says he's looking for that.
Volunteering,
that's
Lord.
That's it. 2 Chronicles 16:9 said, the eyes of the Lord are roving to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a people whose heart is upright towards him. He said, when I find them, I will fully support all they put their hands to do. I wrote that book, God's Supernatural Power, out of one verse. I wrote it out of Psalms 90, verse 16 and 17, that says, O Lord, let your works appear, and establish thou the works of our hands. And God wants to do it. He wants his works to show up.
And you know, all through the Bible, it's just full of records of God moving in supernatural power through his people and to his people. Because he's a supernatural God. He's unlimited in power. There is no limit to his power. And he fills everything. He fills, you know, he fills more than the universe.
That's
he fills all eternity. He is this great, awesome God, and he is our God.
That's right. You know, it says, even if the heavens were a scroll, they couldn't contain all the things Jesus said and did. I'm just excited over what we've got that is recorded. And you know, it says in John 2:11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And it says, it manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So the first miracle, it says that it caused the miracle working power of God, caused the glory of God to be revealed, and caused believers to have a firmer faith in Messiah. So we need miraculous power now, don't we?
Yeah, because this is what we're going to live in for all eternity.
That's true.
We're living with our supernatural, powerful God of all power. Yeah. That's who we live with for all eternity. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. Yeah. We're not like normal human beings. We're human beings who know their God. Yeah. And wow, that's exciting. But anyways, over the years, I have heard you share so many stunning testimonies of the works of God. Mm-hmm. I could sit by the hour and listen to you, Bobby, because it's like, you know, you've encountered God. You have had God encounters. You have known him. You have known his power, the visitations of his spirit. And I was wondering if you could help us all just feast on God today by sharing some of those encounters.
Yeah, I want to share one. One time my wife and I were in a meeting, in a meeting, and I called for the sick to come forward to be healed. Oh, I was stunned. A young boy came, and he had, I don't know what disease it is, but his forehead didn't develop, and it just got right here and just shot straight backwards, and his eyes hung out of his sockets like a lizard almost, honestly. And he's little, and he's got a dwarf disease, and he didn't hardly look like a human. And so it stunned me so much, I thought, oh my, what will I do? And so I said to him, I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And here's what he said, I'm down here, ain't I? The Lord said, that's the best answer you'll ever get in your whole life.
Wow.
And so I stuck my hand out like this and touched the little boy on his forehead, and he fell over, and God started rotating his head. His forehead began to grow out, and his eye sockets popped his eyes back in there. And my wife and I go back to that place, I suppose 4 months later, and this normal kid comes running up to me, grabbed me around the waist, and it was him. And I'm telling you, see, nothing's too hard for God.
Nothing is too hard for God. In fact, you might be watching this program right now, and you're listening to this testimony. Bobby saw God do this great miracle right under his own hands. It's not too hard for you. If you need a miracle for something of that nature that might look impossible to the natural mind, just start to praise God, because all things are possible. Only believe.
That's exactly true. People ask me, they go, What's the greatest miracle you've seen? Any miracle is wonderful. Anything God does is absolutely spectacular. But the thing that stirs me as much as any miracle I've ever seen, I was in the Civic Center in Mexico City. They said there were 78,000 people. I think there was 50-something thousand there. But anyway, a man brings a baby up. She's on his arms like this. I don't speak Spanish, but he was pleading with me with his eyes. And she's a gorgeous little girl. And she turns her face like this, and this side of her face, she didn't have one. You could see into her teeth, into her tongue. And everything else. One side, absolutely beautiful. And I'm looking at her, and my heart goes out to her. And all of a sudden, I lose all the people in the Coliseum. They all go away. And it's just that little girl now. And I see her. She's maybe, 6 years old now. But she's old enough to know she's deformed. And she's in a room like this. Then I see her when she's maybe 13, and she's hid behind a bed. And I see her when she's maybe 14 or 15, and she stepped out in front of a bus and killed herself. And I thought, oh, Lord, what will you do now? I'm back in the Civic Center, and there's a little girl in her daddy's arms. And the Lord said to me, he said, stick your thumb in her face. And I took my thumb, and I stuck it in her face and rubbed it just like that, and God grew her face.
Wow.
In 1 second, in a split second.
Wow.
I can feel it while we're sitting here talking. And then the Lord said to me, he said, Bobby, do you know why I healed that girl? And I said, no, God. And he said, I'm a good God. I want to tell you, he's a good God, and he wants better plans for you than you could want for yourself. Now, you may not be deformed in the face, but maybe your spirit feels deformed. This same God that touched that little girl can touch you today. And I'm telling you, he can make things brand new. And I want you to know that. God's touch with what touches you. I'll tell you what the Lord told me the other day. He said, on earth, Bobby, this is almost muted, but in heaven it's amplified. I said, Lord, what sound is that? He said, it's the sound of the breaking of a heart and the shattering of dreams. Wow. See, on earth it may be muted, but in heaven it touches God what touches us.
Yeah.
And so he's a good, good God, isn't he?
Wow.
This is the day to seek him. The Bible said we'll find him if we seek him with all of our heart. And I tell you what, I'm absolutely 1,000% sure. This is 2 Corinthians 6:2. Said this is a time of an assured welcome. This is a time of his favor.
Yeah.
It says this is a time he'll hear us, and this is a time he'll help us.
Amen. You know, and if we would raise our expectation,
yes,
for more miracles, we'll see them.
That's really
true. You
know,
God's supernatural power, his power is greater,
yes,
than any other power. He is the maximized power in,
yes,
all the universe. It's matchless power.
Yes.
And Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions,
yes,
and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you.
Yes.
Now, I've heard you share testimonies where,
yes,
you've confronted witches,
yes,
and warlocks, and phenomenal manifestations,
yes,
of the power of God have taken place.
Yes.
Can you share some of that?
I really can. The Lord really, really is all-powerful. That verse that you just quoted has been going off in me for months now, and it's Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, and the word behold means drop everything you're doing, firmly focus on what's being given. And he says, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so the Lord said, I'm giving you authority to negate the devil's ability. And so we're going to learn in these days the difference between power and authority. But it's really something. Once I was in a meeting, and we had gone to a large church in one of the cities here. And so after the service, we go out to eat. We go out to just a place to eat, and we're sitting in a booth. The pastor and his wife is sitting there, and there's an elder and some other people sitting here. And the little girl comes, the little waitress comes, and there's a barrier here, and she's setting the water glasses down on the table. And I feel wickedness on her, real demonic wickedness, but she feels it. She feels me feel it on her. And so help me God, here's what she said. She looked at me, she said, oh, don't worry, I'm a Christian witch.
Wow.
And I go, wow, that's rare. And I said, I think it's so rare it don't exist. And honest, she pulled up her sleeve like this, and on her little arm, there was a tattoo of a pentagram and some other cultic marks. And then there was the cross and a little fish. And I said, now let me get this straight. She was totally serious. She was not trying to pull my leg in. She said, yes, I'm a Christian witch. And see, there's no such thing as that. And so I said, well, how does it work? She said, I use witchcraft to manipulate people and the power of God to protect me. And so she was really deceived, deluded, see. And so I said to her, okay, now, I'm a servant of God. You do whatever you do to get God to protect you. I'm going to extend my hand towards you. And she goes through some kind of chants and stuff. And I'm joking with her. I'm mocking her now. I said, are you warped up? And she goes, yes. And I stuck my hand out. I didn't touch her. I stuck my hand out. And she's, I don't know, 3 feet from me here. And the power of God hits her, picks her up in the air, pushes her up against the counter there where the orange juice and eggs and stuff are. And she's screaming, screaming like you can't believe. Can you help me? Can you help me? And she comes over there. And the pastor and his wife pastored a church less than 6 blocks from where she was at. And we introduced them together. But I'll tell you what, they lead her to Jesus, get the cultic stuff cleaned out of her life. But see, the thing that so upset me about that, that we can have such a mixture in America that yeah. young people can actually believe you can drink from both cups.
Yeah.
And the Bible said right the opposite. It says, what communion hath light with darkness?
Yeah.
And what agreement
exactly.
hath the temple
come
of God
on.
With the temple of Baal? And we have to come out from among them, and we need to be separate.
Exactly.
And we need to understand the real power comes from the blood of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And you know what I love, Bobby, about the way that you dealt with her? It was in so much love.
Yeah.
But you didn't compromise truth.
That's true.
You know, because we can have compassion for people, but
yeah.
not compromise truth.
Yeah.
And then you release the power of God through
yeah.
the truth of God.
Yeah.
And that touched her and set her
yeah.
free. It's glorious.
Yeah. We've got yeah. to realize they're a victim. You understand that?
They, yeah.
They're looking for power.
Yeah.
And there's some broken thing in their life. There's
yeah.
some issue they're just looking for answers for.
Yeah.
And that's where the church comes in.
Yeah.
And
if we can't show the real power, how will they ever know
yeah.
that he is available to help them with their
that
problems?
That is so true. The Lord told me, he said, this is a season that deliverance is coming back
mm-hmm.
to the people of God. And he gave me Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to set captives free. And so, listen, God wants to do that. That's part of our ministry. That's part of the ministry of the
yeah.
church, is to set captives free.
Absolutely.
And, God can do it. I mean, he'll do it just like that. He can do it in an instant.
And sometimes God will display his supernatural power through signs and wonders
yeah.
also.
Yeah.
And I remember one time you shared a story about the actual natural electricity mm-hmm. in a large meeting place being
yeah.
usurped by the power
yeah.
of God. And I've been in meetings
yeah.
with you, actually,
yeah.
where the microphone would
yeah.
and then
yeah.
stop, right?
Yeah.
Because
uh-huh.
the supernatural power yeah. of God would usurp
yeah.
the natural power. So can you share
yeah,
that
I will.
Testimony?
We were in Auckland, New Zealand, and we were doing a conference in a new sports stadium with, I'd guess, 12 to 1,500 pastors and leaders. And I had a microphone like this, and I'm preaching. And I was preaching out of Revelations 2, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll open the door. And I was explaining to those men that these supernatural signs are knocks to alert us that the presence of God is at the door. And so all of a sudden, the mic started doing the, and I could see the disturbance on the preacher's faces. And so I said, oh, it's not the sound people's fault. I said, most of the time when this happens, I can point at lights and they'll blow out. And I pointed at a row of lights and they go, boom, just like that. And then when the first row blew out, the spirit of prophecy fell on me. And I said, I'm going to prophesy the headlines of tomorrow's newspaper. And here's what I said. Here's what they'll say. Runaway girl returns home, prayers offered. That was on a Wednesday afternoon in Auckland, New Zealand. The Thursday morning paper, you open it up, it says, runaway girl returns home, prayers offered. There's a picture of a runaway girl. So I come back. This is Thursday night. And so I'm still on the theme. Behold, I stand at the Lord. I said, now we had a couple of knocks last night. I said, one was when I prophesied, so I pulled out the headlines of the paper, and I had a man come read it. And Thursday, da-da-da, and he read it. And I said, now that's a knock. Now this is Thursday. And I said, remember the other knock was last night when I pointed at the lights. So I did it again on Thursday night, and I pointed at a row of lights, and they go, boom! And I thought, this may be a row, and I pointed on the next one, boom, boom! And 3 or 4 rows blew out, and the Lord said, if you don't stop, you're going to be in the dark. But those preachers were screaming. They
wow.
were absolutely screaming.
They got introduced to
oh,
the power
man.
Of God and the God of power.
That's right.
Amen.
Here's one. You know, you've got a friend named Jim Gall.
Uh-huh.
Jim Gall and I were in Edmonton, Alberta in the Civic Center preaching up there. And it was my night to preach. And I think they were maybe redoing part of the Civic Center there. They had some big walls made out of, I guess, curtains or carpet or whatever, and they're maybe 12 feet high or 15 feet high. And so I'm up there preaching, and they just went all the way down the Civic Center. And I'm up there preaching, and I'm preaching about God wants to tear down the religious walls,
mm-hmm.
you know. And here's what I said. I said, you know, God is sick and tired of all these walls. When I said sick and tired of all these walls, one of the walls started vibrating like this, and it fell over, and it tore the next one down and the next one down, and they're wow. falling and they're exploding when they hit the ground. Woom, wow. woom, wow. dust is flying everywhere. And see, God will demonstrate what you're talking about.
Wow.
That's the early church had it, Mark 16:20. They
That's
went
right.
and preached, and
That's
God
right.
validated.
Yeah, we see it in the book of Acts.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, Bobby, this is so exciting. We're going to take a break right now. Well, we're back with Bobby Connor and speaking on the subject of God's supernatural power. And Bobby, during the break, we were talking about even how God loves animals yes. enough to release his supernatural power to heal them or to establish them in freedom. And you shared a wonderful testimony. Can you share that on the air now?
Yeah, I will. My older son, he's 46 years old, and he was driving to work one day, and he had a little puppy once that got run over and killed. And so he's driving to work, and a little dog runs out in the traffic and is run over. And my son has a big, big heart. And so he stops the truck. He gets out. He's going to pull the little dog off of the road so other cars won't smush it. And he said, Daddy said, I just said, oh, Jesus, let this little dog live. And the little dog, he told me, said, eyes had popped out of the sockets, brain matter coming out of the ears. And when he said that simple little prayer, he said he was just saying what was on his heart. And he said the little dog shook like this, jerked itself up, went, and trotted off just like that. He called me, and he barely could talk. And I want you to know something. God really, really is a God of mercy and great. He'll help people.
And so, he's a God of life.
Oh, he loves
life. He's a God of life, you know, and he loves giving life. Yeah. I remember when we were, reading about the gospel. It says that we heal the sick, we raise the dead, yeah. we yeah. cast out devils, we cleanse yeah. lepers. You know, all of those things are part of our gospel yeah. commission. And so we were highlighting on the raising of the dead, and so you have to find something dead yeah. to practice on, to yeah. exercise your faith. And I remember one time practicing on a plant even. I yeah. thought, God loves the plant,
yeah.
and he loves giving plants life, because he's a life-giving God. And so we had a dead plant, and I believe we resurrected it. We spoke resurrection yeah. to it, and it came back to life. And then we had a goldfish in a bowl that died, and spoke it life yeah. back into that. And you know, there was just little things that we could practice on yeah. that reminded us that God, you're a God of life. Yeah. You're a life giver. And we need to exercise our faith in you as a life giver. And I remember with Heidi Baker, I remember asking her this a number of years ago, saying, Heidi, have you raised any dead in Mozambique yet? And at that time, she hadn't. She says, no, we haven't yet, but we're working on it.
Yes.
And I said, how are you working on it? And she said, well, we'll take little babies that have died. Yeah. We'll just hold them in our arms, and we'll continue to love them and pray God's life into them, because he loves them, and he's a life-giving God. And then after, you know, a yeah. while, we, of course, bury them. Yeah. But we are believing God for resurrections. Well, now, I mean, it was about 18 months later, I saw her again. I said, any resurrections yet? And she said, yes, and there was a whole pile of them already.
Yes.
But now, it's numerous, and her whole team is moving into that, because they pressed in to the supernatural power of a life-giving God.
Yeah. I want to say this. It's available to all of us. We don't just have to be a Heidi Baker in Mozambique. God wants to demonstrate his power right here, right now in this generation. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, I want to use ordinary people and put an extraordinary anointing on them.
Yeah.
And see, that's what it is. It's the power of the Lord Jesus coming out of us and living out of us. And here's what, isn't it John 14:12? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes upon me, the works that I do, he shall do also.
He'll do
and
also.
Greater works
yeah.
than these. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants to release this anointing. He wants to take us out of this being timid and afraid mm-hmm. and get us past our comfort zone, where we begin to pray for the sick people,
yeah.
pray for people out in the grocery store. And I'm telling you, God will do it. He will do it. He'll heal the sick. We watched him grow arms out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God can do anything. Genesis 18:14, it says, is there anything too hard
yeah,
for the Lord?
And nothing.
I looked at that through every kind of translation. And the other day I found one says, is anything too hard or too delightful for the Lord?
Wow.
See, he loves to delight us, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's his good pleasure yeah. to give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I think God wants to anoint people right now today. With,
Amen.
And it starts with a hunger.
Yeah.
It starts with being holy, hungry for the things of God.
It's
Psalms
true.
42 says, oh, it's a little desert deer, pants after the water
yeah.
brook, so pants my soul after thee.
Right.
If
Whatever
we get
you
hungry,
focus on
yeah.
and what you have passion for, You'll empower. That's You'll create right. a realm.
That's true.
Through that.
And so I want us to be hungry for miracles.
Yeah.
I really do. If we're hungry for them, we'll get them.
We'll glorify and the Lord.
God wants to honor His Son by doing what His Son came to do, set captives yeah. free. And Matthew 4:23 said He went about doing good.
Yeah.
He preached the gospel. He delivered the oppressed. And yeah. I love that. First thing He says, He went about. He yeah. got the message outside the four walls of the church. You and I need to do that. We yeah. need to do that. And that's what you're doing with Extreme. Yeah. And that's what it's about. We have to fish where they're biting. And, you know, that's what we're called to be, fishers of men.
Yeah.
So we need to quit fishing in the bathtub and start getting out where come they're really
on.
schooling, you
come
know.
On.
And so
yeah,
that's
just
a,
stir
and chunk
up
what
that
they're
anointing.
Biting. Chunk what they're biting, you know. And they're hungry for supernatural.
Yes.
And the church has it.
Yeah,
so we really
especially this next
move.
Generation is extremely hungry for the authentic
That's
supernatural.
True. That is so true.
You know, Elijah, it says in the Bible in yeah. James that he was a man, an ordinary man, just yeah. like us. Mm-hmm. But he knew his God.
Yeah.
He knew the God of the supernatural.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You can pursue the supernatural yeah. and you'll probably see some supernatural. Yeah. But the key is pursuing the God
of
the supernatural.
Isn't it Daniel 11:32b? It says, but the people that do know their God,
yes.
they will do exploits,
yes.
great exploits. And one translation says they will display strength and take action.
Yeah.
So that's what we need. We need Christians that will demonstrate strength and take action.
Yeah.
The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4:20, it was not the plan of God to establish His kingdom just with talk, but with power.
Yeah.
And you have it.
Exactly.
Inside of you resides the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that moved and ministered in the life of Jesus. The same Holy Spirit is in you. And He wants to really release that power for you. Acts 10:38 says, but you shall receive power. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Power.
That same Holy Ghost is in you and I. And it's in the believers out there today.
God's supernatural power. Bring it on, Lord,
yeah.
today through your people. You know, I'm getting a word of knowledge for someone who's watching the program right now, and you're frustrated. You're hearing all these testimonies of the miracles, and you've said, I tried that. I really believed. Yeah. I stepped out, and nothing happened. I pray for the sick. It doesn't look like they're getting healed. I do all the things that the Bible says to do, but I just seem to fall short of the manifestation of what's supposed to come. And you've got skepticism now in your heart. You've got unbelief in your heart. But the Lord wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you. He says, don't be moved by what you see or don't see. Be moved by His truth. Be moved by His word. He is who He says He is. And if you could just shake off the disappointment, shake off the discouragement that came from not seeing what you believed for, and just hang in there and push through the membrane, keep fighting for, keep contending, fight the good fight of faith. Say, I'm going to believe no matter what. My husband and I, for 5 years, when we first got launched into full-time ministry with no visible means of support, God said, I'm going to teach you how to live in the realm of the miraculous. It was so difficult. We didn't see those miracles right away, but we kept pressing in with the Word of God. We stood on that Word and kept pressing in. 5 years later, we had a bank account full of faith and proclamation of the Word of God. 5 years later, we had a breakthrough. And from that point on, we started seeing financial and provisional miracles to this very day. You hang in there, press in yes. no matter what, because God has a great ministry for you to fulfill that will give glory to His name. You hang in there. And for all of you, remember this as we close. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Move forward, share His love with others, and be supernatural.